The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, the government's new draft transport strategy includes a plan for a congestion charge and lower car insurance costs. This comes alongside the announcement that the public consultation on the metro is to reopen. I'm joined in studio by Conor Faulkner, transport consultant and CEO at the RIAC, the Royal Irish Automobile Club. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hello.
Now, the Metrolink consultation to be reopened. Why?
Why? Consultation has been going on Metro, as far as people know, for 30 years. We've been talking about building this thing. We still haven't started. On Bord Pleanála's hearing has been going on. Eamon Ryan said before the hearing began that he was confident we'd have a decision before the end of this year. That appears to be derailed, pardon the pun, because the news comes out today that because of additional information furnished by TII during the oral hearing, there has to be a further opportunity for that information to be reflected upon, others to be able to. So it looks as if it may be delayed.
What sort of information, Conor, is being revealed?
Well, according to the Irish Times this morning, Pat, there was about 200 additional documents that TII submitted or referred to during the consultation process. Now, many of those appear to have been innocuous, to do with the procedures or to do with agreements reached with people and owners along the route, but others apparently had substantive information, whatever that happens to mean. However, other parties involved seem to want a chance to reflect and respond to those informations more fully, and Bord Pleanála says that that will have to be done.
Yeah. I mean, if there is detail of deals done with homeowners along the way or business owners, it might well be that another business owner say, he got a good deal there. I didn't get that deal. I want some of that.
Well, and none of this can be allowed to hold up the metro project. It is simply not possible for us to build a metro without finding a wrinkle or a complication or somebody in the city of 2 million people who objects or doesn't like it. But if every time that happens, we all have to stop and talk, well, then 30 years later, we still haven't got a shovel in the ground and we still haven't built a metro. In that time period, Madrid has built an enormous extension. Madrid and Dublin announced plans for metro around about the same time in 1995. Madrid has a fantastic metro system. It had a couple of original lines. Has a fantastic metro system now. We haven't done anything.
They started at the same time as we did.
Yeah, that's right. And Barcelona rapidly extended. Even if you look at smaller cities, the city of Nice in France, for example, built a marvellous metro serving its airport. All of the cities have been doing this. All Dublin has managed to do is talk about it.
Now, why do you think that is so? I mean, is it our planning rules and regulations? I'm sure in other places where they have to break eggs to make omelets, they have procedures where people can say, hang on a second, you're depriving me of my livelihood, or you're going to shut down my business for 2 years while you're doing this. There have got to be mechanisms which compensate people and allow for people to have their say.
Yeah, they do indeed. And you can't simply railroad it through. and in Spain, for example, there were some sort of Franco-era laws that were still on the statute books. They were less encumbered by the property rights priorities that exist in Ireland. And of course, those are really important. This is a national social conversation. But we clearly aren't getting it right if all we're achieving is paralysing ourselves.
Yeah. Now, the question is, how rigorous was the TII proposal in the first place? You'd imagine with all the time in the world, which they have had, that they'd get it right. But there were a couple of things that came to our attention. One was, two buildings which were no longer there. There was Canada House on St. Stephen's Green, which is now AerCap House, completely new building with extra basements, which weren't there with Canada House. It seems TII didn't seem to be aware of that. There was another Irish Life development where a building had been demolished and a completely new building put up, but TII did not seem to be aware that there was a new building in place. So when you hear about things like that, you think, how rigorous is this process? Then there's the Dartmouth Square. We talked to some of the representatives here. So you have, on the one hand, the City Council listing these buildings and saying they are to be preserved. And on the other hand, you've got a proposed construction that is potentially going to destroy them.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But when do you actually start, Pat? Because it's 18.8 kilometres of metro route. And when we were building things like the Port Tunnel or the various motorways that we did manage to achieve, they were in planning terms much simpler. But in engineering terms, they were very complicated as well. We've had motorways that had to be adjusted after being completed because of flooding issues and stuff like that. And in a project as complicated as a metro, for sure there will be difficulties and stuff that will have not so much done on the fly.
But there's a fundamental aspect to this, which is the location of the terminus at Charlemont Street. Now, this seems to be based on hooking in with the Green Line of the Lewis, which is coming all the way from Cherrywood, and ultimately will link up with the Dart at Shankill.
And eventually, in the city's future, however long we take about doing it, will become metro lines in their own right in future Dublin.
Maybe not. Because the design of this thing, it does seem like you'll have a terminus for Lewis before it becomes Metrolink and dips underground. The ordinary Lewis will continue to trundle away on the surface. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what way it'll finally end up. But Charlemont Street as a hub, where, you know, there's going to be a lot of interchanges with, ideally, with buses,
with loads
of people to-ing and fro-ing. It's not exactly kind of Grand Central in its location.
No, it's not. And there's Stephen's Green as well. It will take a bit for the city to get used to, but it will make for a different sort of city. But if we have that volume of people served by public transport, and if you look at cities where it has been brought in, some of which are complicated cities as well. I mentioned Nice. They've built a marvellous metro line serving their airport. A lot of those cities have got severe traffic restrictions in the centre, for example. Look at some of the French cities. You won't see a car at all. They're all tram-based and rail-based. That could be Dublin's future as well.
All right, but you're dismayed anyway at the reopening of this because it's going to mean more delay.
Well, I mean, the upshot is more delay, and you'll always find something to stop and think about. And if all we ever do is stop and think and reconsult, then we never build the metro, and that's here we are again.
Yeah, but there are people like myself who were saying to them when they were building the children's hospital, hang on a bit, do this right, pick the right location. A brownfield site in the middle of Dublin 8 is not the best place for a national paediatric hospital. They went ahead. They'll have a wonderful facility. Mm-hmm. They will. But, you know, the difficulties of getting to it and serving a population, not just of Dublin 8, but of the entire country.
Yeah, It could have been delivered, though. These strategic decisions could have been made 10, 15 years earlier in Ireland's progress that we talked about for that length of time. And we could have completed projects by now. We could be having a completely different conversation.
We're also building a new national maternity hospital in a place where the staff won't be able to afford to live, Dublin 4, and where relatively few babies are being born compared to west of the city.
Fair comment. However, we did also deliver some massive infrastructure projects and did them very well. The Dublin Port Tunnel is a great example of that. Lewis, for all its critics and for all its flaws, is a fantastic service. And the motorway network, you know, for the generation that remembers what Irish roads used to be
like,
the motorway network has delivered and it's continued. And we had a bank crash. The roads couldn't be repossessed. We had the infrastructure. It has served us really, really well. We never regret doing it when we get it done. There was a huge debate and controversy about the cost of the Dublin Port Tunnel. Nobody remembers that now. The outturn cost, incidentally, was about 750 million. Cheap as chips. And what a pity we didn't build more. So we should be building these things.
And presumably, although the trucks are free, a nice little earner.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it, you know, washes its face and contributes and all that sort of stuff. That's not its primary purpose. We used to have a wall of steel on the quays in Dublin. Trucks had to come in and out to the port that way. Port Tunnel, fantastic. And as I say, if we'd been building metro lines at the same time, we'd be equally delighted with them. And not just Dublin. Cork needs a Lewis. Galway needs a Lewis. There's lots and lots that we could be doing. And it seems that, you know, build a motorway on a greenfield site, we can do it. Getting property rights and everything squared off in order to deliver urban public transport, which we desperately, desperately need, we just don't seem to be able to progress it.
Now, the government's new transport strategy, what do you make of that? Congestion charges are envisaged. Also, lower insurance costs, which intrigues me.
Yeah, and isn't it, you know, an unwelcome irony that it comes out on the same day that we hear that that the metro is delayed. This is something Eamon Ryan is bringing forward. He's talking about legislating to give local authorities the power to apply congestion charges, which is an old, old conversation. And they use London as the comparison, you know, which obviously has a tube network and all that sort of stuff. Congestion charges conceivably have a purpose in future Dublin, in future Cork and future Limerick, when viable alternatives exist. Before they do, a congestion charge is just a punishment tax. It's another way to frustrate movement. And, you know, for all the conversations that have been had many times over, it remains a bad idea for the time being. And as for lower insurance prices, I struggle to see even a daisy chain of logic there.
Do you mean how can the government determine what private insurance companies charge for their services?
Yeah, absolutely. And that will be based on risk, on the possibility of collisions and accidents occurring and subsequent claims costs.
So are they saying that the measures they introduce will be such that there will be fewer collisions?
That's
actuaries can say, well, your insurance costs go down because actually there are no cars in the city. There will be fewer crashes. Is that the logic?
That's a fantasy. I suppose if we lived in a car-free world, car insurance would be cheap. That's a bit of a fantasy. And look, if you really want to bring that about, if lower insurance prices is going to be delivered by government policy, deliver it by giving us Gardaí in the traffic corps. We've said before, road debts are, you know, very much trending upwards, a deeply disappointing trend. Mm-hmm. Garda Traffic Corps way under strength. Give me a really solid measure that will help with road safety and with insurance prices deliver extra Garda.
Now, as well as the congestion charge, they would have local authorities would have the power to charge for various types of roads. For instance, if you drive an internal combustion engine into a low emission zone,
you could
be charged. If you have electric, you'd be free, one presumes.
Yeah, or the tariff could be varied.
Or if you're on a scooter. Or if you cycle a bike, maybe they'll give you money.
Well, if you have a smartwatch, maybe they'll charge you for walking in. All of these things are theoretically, technically possible. Actually, to be fair to government and to local authorities everywhere, technology is potentially a really, really fantastic tool. It could, in theory, replace how vehicles are taxed. You could be taxed on the basis of movement because it's possible to track vehicles with technology these days. So it's possible to have different prices. You want to bring an internal combustion engine into the city, that's X price. You're coming in a pure electric, that's Y price. It's perfectly physically possible to do these things.
They're also talking about the telematic technology being able to measure how much driving you do. And, you know, given that the revenue from diesel and petrol will go down with the target of a million electric vehicles by 2030, should that be reached, people will not be buying this stuff and therefore not paying the excise and the VAT. They'll be charging up largely at home. So they'll be saying, if you use your car, we can measure how far you've driven and we will charge you by the kilometre.
Yeah. Or spin it the other way around. If you are government, you know, we want to raise at least 5 billion euro in taxes from 2.5 million motorists in Ireland. It's part of the tax base. I mean, I spent years as a motoring lobbyist with the AA. Theoretically, great victory. Motoring taxes are evaporating. Government's not getting your money anymore. But, you know, from government's point of view, I think they do regard it as taxable. And there is a potential tool there, as I say. You could tax on the basis of congestion, on the basis of emissions, on the basis of all sorts of things. So there is potential there.
They're also going to eliminate, under this plan, how soon, I don't know, the diesel rebate scheme. Now, that's what every trucker is still depending on to deliver goods and services right throughout the country.
Yeah, and that will be alarming to people. Look, everybody knows in fossil fuels are on their way out in every conceivable way. We're in a transitionary period, but diesel will have a long tail and there's no point pretending otherwise. It's a simple truth. We're going to be using diesel industrially and for industrial transport for a very long time to come, even as everything else goes electric and our emissions profile improves enormously. So that's a reality. I and it's a fundamental part of the cost base and virtually everything in the Irish economy. And I think government has to recognise that.
Some of the questions and comments coming in. What happened with the Clongriffin connection to Dublin Airport? It had permission and would have been a gateway to North Dublin.
Well, again, a piece of infrastructure that should be built. I don't know, Pat. This oral hearing is involved specifically with the route from Swords to Charlemont, which is referred to as the airport metro, but is part of larger plans.
If it costs up to $3 billion for the Children's Hospital, it's going to be at least $30 billion by the time the metro is complete, says another. Why not link the train line from Malahide to the airport, also the Lewis to Swords and the airport? No forward planning in this country. Lewis should also run parallel to the M50. The problem is with the M50, I mean, the idea of putting a bus on the M50, for example, taking out one of the lanes and therefore congesting the M50, but making the buses run really smoothly around the M50. The problem is, you know, where are the bus stops? Have they already sold off all the land for development?
And what use is it to you if you're trying to get to work? A brilliant bus from one motorway junction to the next is you know, not much of a solution for you. That's not a great idea.
To your point, fastest growing population is in West Dublin, yet none of these great infrastructural plans addressing this area in any meaningful way. Connor says Galway needs a Lewis. Galway's population won't support a light rail system. Anyway, on which of the narrow medieval streets are you going to put it?
Yeah, it'd be very difficult. I mean, I'm not suggesting it would be easy, but I mean, I'm sure that caller, that texter knows how congested Galway City is. I think there's tremendous possibilities there. And as I say, if we were over the last 30 years, we've had periods where we've had money, we have been able to invest in infrastructure. And I guess in the broadest sense, whenever we did, we considered it money well spent.
I live on Movie Road, says this texter. Metro going under our house. When we moved in 20 years ago, there was talk of the metro, so build it. The idea that people in their 60s are able to hold up infrastructure that will be available to the greater society for some 200 years or more is absolutely ludicrous. This is what a society run by and for the haves looks like.
Well, I wonder. I mean, the same conversations were had when the Port Tunnel was built. And you know, there did involve some very difficult conversations. Some owners had to be compensated. You know, lots and lots of complicated stuff had to be done. But it was done. It was managed well. And as I say, thinking of a future problem or thinking of a future difficulty and wanting to have, you know, a resolution given to you on paper before construction starts, you know, that's just... I mean, literally isn't sustainable, is it?
All right. Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and CEO of the RIAC. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.